Thomas he'll do an environment and personal monitoring issue. And next is Dr. Sakai, and public concern. And next speaker is Dr. Hattori. He'll do an question and answer website and the Fukushima Symposium by Japan Health Physics Society. And at the end, we have already did a publication of a Fukushima report, and the title is on the response and the recommendation from Fukushima accident. And as a start, I'll do a general guidance of the overview of the Fukushima accident. As a first, we would like to express our mourn for victims of earthquake and tsunami and the nuclear power plant accident. The people died is an over 20,000. And I would like to express our appreciation of the support of Japan from all over the world. And acknowledgement, we would like to say, and for the arrangement of this session by ARPA. As you know, Great East Japan earthquake is a very big one, March the 11th last year. Magnitude is a 9.0, and more than 20,000 deaths and missing people. More than 40 hundreds of 1,000 evacuees. I would like to show several pictures on this issue. Tsunami is appearing. And this is also a very shocking picture. Every town disappeared within 1 hour. This is also very shocking, and the boat on the road. This is an Sendai airport, and you can see several airplanes, trains. Rescues is surveying and living people, and the evacuation police. And as a result of tsunami and nuclear power plant go to an accident, Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant was introduced from United States, and that is a BWR type reactor, and the type is a Mark 1. And this side is a former picture. This changed and this style. Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant, we have six nuclear power plant. But these four nuclear power plant go to a complete damage of a reactor core. And the release of radioactivity, that was continued for several days. And March the 11th here, and, after earthquake, every nuclear power plant stopped very safely. But after that, and tsunami attack, the height will be more than 20 meters. That caused a complete stop of the electric supply and other activities of reactor safety mechanism. And that caused a release of radioactivity. This level, this level. Number one plant damaged, number three, two, and like that. That causes a strong impact to the environment. This is a measured result by airplane and others. And What happened in Fukushima? This is an issue of this symposium. And the first one is an extraordinary large external event. And one discussion point is an emergency preparation zone. And the EPZ, we are saying, and at the first stage, a 2 kilometer radius was set, but within 1 hour, and this changed 5 kilometers, 10 kilometers, and 20 kilometers, frequently change occurred within 1 or 2 days. Off-site center, this is the central station of emergency, but this was seriously damaged, and the activity go down. Reactor itself is quite serious. A severe accident is going on. This caused an environmental impact, and for inhabitants, and a huge number of inhabitants escape from their living place, and the mass media and the general public got a serious shock. And the early stage countermeasure, and this has a complete rearrangement, the result is not so good. Middle period countermeasure and long-term countermeasure. This is continuing. Rebuilding of the safety department of a safety regulatory system. This is not yet finished. And we need many political agreement on for the foundation of a new system. State of confusion after the accident. We have many issues. One is on the sheltering and evacuation, and termination of the declaration of emergency, food and drinking water control, and influence on the public health and like that. In early stage, we need coolant of water. The stop of the supply of the electricity, and we did a spray from outside. And the working people inside received very high level radiations, and many people received a high level dose, and this is in the early stage, but then you can recognized the people's over 250 millisievert. And the setting of evacuation area. And in early stage, we need a prediction system of the appearance of a radiation plume. And we developed this system very goodly, but the calculation and arrangement was complete, but the opening of the information to general public or to the specialist was very poor for several reasons. One reason is a political reason, and another reason is an arrangement of the harmonization of the organization or department of the government. The damage is combined with the tsunami and the earthquake and the nuclear power plant, and this caused a very complex situation of the waste. And many waste of a tsunami and earthquake strongly contaminated by radionuclide. And food and drinking water, this caused a big shock to very white people. Another discussion point is on school children. And after 1 month later or 2 months later, the discussion of the restart of the school activities, in this case, and what is the reference level to these situations? This caused many confusion. In this session, we would like to discuss about the radiation protection principles and emergency situations or existing situations after emergency. Emergency preparedness for nuclear accident. We did many arrangements after TMI accident, after Chernobyl accident. But the system is very complete, and the center part of the countermeasure is the off-site center. This is a combination of the central government, local government, and the operators, Tokyo Electric Company, and other activities, and including and mass media activities and like that. But this arrangement of off-site center does not work well because the distance from the nuclear power plant is only 5 kilometers. That caused quite difficult situation of the operation of an off-site center. Radiation plume. In early stage, this is very serious. We can recognize this situation in case of the Chernobyl accident and others. And to avoid this, and we are using the prediction system of radiation plume. But the calculation was complete, the handling of the information, that was difficult at that stage. Countermeasures. Sheltering to concrete building, evacuation, application of a stable iodine before the radiation plume, control of drinking water, milk and food, restriction of entry. This is an issue that was written in textbook. Evacuation. To understand evacuation, it is easy, but as a reality, it is very difficult. Depending on time, depending on date, this was changed. And for the reasons of the process of the reactor accident situations. Reduction of iodine plume effect. And to escape and the building, and that will cause a reduction. But the application of a stable iodine, and this arranged, and the total pills is enough, but the operation was not good. And the radiation plume, and this is a circle, and this is a fan, depending on the wind. This is a land area, this is a sea. And on the picture, it is well, but the real operation, and that does not work well. We have a system for prediction of environmental emergency dose information, and that is called SPEEDY. And by combining and monitoring survey meters, the calculated result will be operated. This is an image picture before accident. The system is very complete, and combining with the IT technology and the total network of the inside of the Japan based on the each nuclear power plant. This is one example of the output. This is showing an equivalent dose of thyroid by inhalation. Result will be calculated by SPEEDY system. That worked very well, but the operation of the application of this information is not so good. And the opening of the information delayed, quite delayed. after 2 weeks later or 3 weeks later. How to use the prediction system? It is in some meaning and common sense after Chernobyl accident and like that. Not only air pollution, but also sea contamination. This is one example at the stage of August, the end of August. This is a Japanese island, and Fukushima site is here. This emit and contaminated water, and but level is not so high. We take care of the scale, and this is an 1 becquerel per liter, and like that. And but and through this calculation, we can image and the pollution situation of the sea. And that is an this is a big issue, radiation risk to human being, and not only general public and but also a specialist. Specialist is itself. And some specialists believe that below 100 millisievert, everything is safe, is a comment by specialist. But the strong refuse from mass media or other people occurred after that. As you know, a deterministic effect and a probabilistic effect, the combination of these two consists in the radiation risk system in our field. But the difficulty is on the probabilistic effect. What is the guidance level or reference level under emergency situation or existing situations? The very wide contamination of the people will not occur. Only a big reactor accident. Only big reactor accident means and the Chernobyl accident and the Fukushima accident and like that. So the children's control is and very is and very poor in this system. Please consider this is an child. This is an adult. The mechanism is quite different, and the performance or living style. This is called as an habit in our system. Their habit is like this. Sometimes this small girl sometimes eat soil. Those constraints and the reference level, this is guided by ICRP and others, planned situation, emergency situation, and the existing situations. After Chernobyl accident, the strong insist of an emergency system, that is very important. I engaged this work for 12 years as an ICRP committee four members. This is showing from 1 millisievert to 20 millisievert operation. Under existing situations. But government selected only 20 millisievert for existing situations, but our activities is saying and depending on situations, depending on the accident process, and we select a certain number and including the stakeholder involvement in decision-making procedure. But this process was very poor at that time. How to operate under existing exposure situations? This is in some meaning and very difficult. Regulatory body people would like to select an only number. But the specialist is always thinking and the optimization of radiation protection or stakeholder involvement and like that. But as an in the real field, this kind of operation for regulators is quite difficult. And after that, and many events occurred. This is an powder milk. In the process of powder milk, they are doing an introduction of fresh air from outside. this fresh air contaminated, this caused the contamination of powder milk, tea leaves, and cow beef, and construction materials. In the schoolyard, and the parents did a decontamination cleanup, and this caused a big shock to the Japanese societies, and other activities of cleanup occurred. And another headache for us is a nuclear damage compensation system. The total volume of the money is quite big. One example is this number, $60,000 per each person. This was shown by Tokyo Electric Company and like that. The total compensation system we have, but the total volume is over of that. And I would like to close my guidance of the general situations, and we would like to do a joint work of other peoples. One is an ARPA people, and another is an AORP, Asian Oceanic Association for Radiation Protection. We would like to do a joint work of the analysis of this accident, and we would like to do a lesson from this issue. And originally, this nuclear power plant is on the U.S. design, so we need a joint work with the U.S. peoples. Thank you.
Could I remind everybody that the Twitter and email addresses on the screen at the moment are for your use for posting questions to the panel today. We'll try and address them as they come in this afternoon, as we get them at the end of the presentations.
Next speaker is Dr. Momose from JAEA, and his presentation is concerning to an environmental and personal monitoring. Please.
Thank you, Chairman. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Today, I would like to explain about environmental and personal monitoring after Fukushima accident. Mainly, I want to focus on present status on environmental radiation monitoring and personal exposure monitoring. Environmental radiation monitoring includes three topics: implementation of general environment monitoring, preparation of the distribution map, analysis on the atmospheric dispersion of radioactive materials. This slide shows outline of off-site environmental monitoring performed after Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant accident in accordance with the guideline for emergency environmental radiation monitoring in Japan. Monitoring area was land, marine, and sky. Monitoring frequency was basically daily. Next, Ministry of Education, Culture, Sports, Science, and Technology was conducting comprehensive environmental radiation monitoring plan, and many institutes took part in the monitoring activities. Monitoring items which was performed in emergency situation is as follows: ambient dose rate, integrated dose, and radionuclide quantitative analysis on environmental samples in dust, soil, pond, water, weed, and so on. Later, I will talk to you. Continuous dust sampling, including iodine sampling, was not performed sufficiently because many radiation monitoring instruments at the monitoring post in Fukushima Prefecture have been damaged by the impact of the earthquake and tsunami. Here, this is a chronological change of the ambient dose in the vicinity of Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant and evacuation situation. Here, sorry, the changed. This is a date, a little bit changed. March 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, and so on. And this is a dose rate, ambient dose rate. And here, indicate the date and the evacuation recommendation within 3 kilometers and 10 kilometers and so on. This, from this data, it seems that the residents in the vicinity of the power plant can evacuate from the zone successfully. Next slide shows estimated annual dose at the fixed monitoring point. This here, this is a distance from Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant, and this is a estimated annual dose from the measurement data at around Fukushima site. There are this area, the colored area is approximately annual dose is 20 millisievert, but this area is limited at northwest from Fukushima power plant. Other place is not so high. Next, I move to airborne monitoring survey. On April 5th, 2011, MEX started airborne monitoring survey in cooperation with USDOE. On May 17th, 2011, 80 kilometer to 100 kilometer zone was monitored. After June, the monitoring area was enlarged to 3 prefectures around Fukushima and then east of Japan. On October, second time monitoring to 80 kilometer zone was started again. This slide shows procedure of data analysis. The helicopter flight above the 150 meter to 3 meter from ground. Count rate was obtained from large size sodium iodine detector. Acquisition rate is 1 second interval. SI method can discriminate radio cesium and natural radionuclide. SI means the ratio of count rate over 450 keV and count rate over 900 keV. By using this index, they can distinguish background and cesium. This is the result of the airborne monitoring survey. Ambient dose rate at 1 meter from the ground is estimated here. Blue and green area is under 20 millisievert zone here, this one, almost three. It is also clear from this survey that high dose rate area in Japan is limited at northwest region from Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant. This figure shows total accumulation of radio cesium deposited on the soil here. natural radioactive nuclide was discriminated by the SI method. This figure shows 3D map of the radio cesium distribution. Radio cesium was mainly deposited within surrounding mountains. You can see the mountain here, the center of the Honshu Island, and within this area, the deposition limited only these areas. Next, preparation of the distribution map of the radiation doses and activity concentration in soil. Mixed and other cooperative institutes measured ambient dose rate and radioactivity concentration in soil at around 2,200 locations within approximately 100 kilometers from the Kushima Daiichi plant. And objective and soil collecting period and other cooperative institute are listed here. Many institutes take part in this project. This slide shows the result of cesium-137 deposition on soil. This result have good agreement with airborne monitoring survey mentioned formerly. The detail of this result will be performed by Dr. Nakamura Professor Emeritus of Tohoku University at another Fukushima technical session on Tuesday. But I would like to say only one thing. This figure shows iodine deposition on the soil. The area which is over 2 kilobecquerel per square meter, deposition was observed in northwest direction here and south direction here. From this fact, we should pay attention to both directions when we make those reconstruction for residents in future. Next, I would like to move to source time estimation by WSPD by using reverse estimation method. The atmospheric release rate of iodine and cesium-137 from Fukushima Daiichi plant site was estimated by combining environmental monitoring data with atmospheric dispersion simulation with WSPD2 by using these equations. Q indicate release rate, and M is a measured air concentration, and C is dilution factors. Dilution factors was derived by WSPD under the assumption of a unit of release rate as follows. And by comparing the calculation from SPD and the monitoring data, this literature was compared, and finally they decide the source time like this shaped. But only this point, there is no data, measurable data, so this was estimated as same as this levels. From the this analysis, it became clear that the significant atmospheric release on 50 March and the following wet deposition caused the formation of high dose rate zone around the northwest direction from the power plant. In Fukushima Prefecture, continuous dust sampling at fixed point was not performed sufficiently because many monitoring posts got damaged or lost power caused from the earthquake and the tsunami. However, in JAEA Tokai, located at Ibaraki Prefecture, we could continue dust sampling by using the emergency generator. The double speedy analysis suggests that this monitoring point is located at representative position for Ibaraki Prefecture from the point of view of the internal dose estimation for radioactive iodine. The significant radioactive plumes was estimated to come to Ibaraki Prefecture three times. And this figure shows the radioactivity concentration in atmospheric dust measured at Tokai. This nuclide was measured. And three peak here, this one, can be observed, same as the analysis by WSPD. Internal dose derived from the radioactivity concentration is as follows. Adult is effective dose is 0.57 millisievert, thyroid dose 7.9 millisievert. And infant of age of 1 year, effective dose is 0.88 millisievert and thyroid dose 15 millisievert, approximately. Next, I move to personal monitoring. Situation of workers and situation of residents. About the situation of workers, I would like to focus on change of dose limit for emergency worker, dose distribution of radiation workers, emergency workers exposed over 250 millisievert, overview of the special monitoring for internal exposure of workers supported by JAEA. Japanese government changed dose limit for emergency workers from 100 sievert to 250 millisievert, considering emergency situation after the accident occurred. After December 16, dose limit came back to original value 100 millisievert, except for special cases. From this May, dose limit is set back to 1 millisievert without exception. This table shows the dose distribution of emergency workers on site. Up to the end of October, total 70,000 workers were evaluated. Around 170 workers had exposed over 100 millisievert and 6 workers exposed over 250 millisievert. This table shows the detail of the emergency workers exposed over 250 millisievert. These people is TEPCO plant operators or staffs who engaged in recovery of the indicator. The main cause of overexposure is internal exposure by inhalation of radioiodine at the control room. This slide shows internal exposure monitoring for emergency workers supported by JAEA. End of the March, JAEA sent a mobile whole body counter to TEPCO Onahama call center in Fukushima Prefecture and started individual monitoring for emergency workers. From 12 April to 5th August last year, worker whose preliminary estimated dose became over 20 millisievert went to JAEA Tokai for additional monitoring. In JAEA Tokai, special monitoring for emergency workers was performed as follows. Whole body counting was performed by using a germanium detector in the shielding room with 20 centimeter thickness iron. Canberra fast scan sodium iodine detector was also used. And thyroid monitoring also performed by using germanium detector. And number of the major workers as follows. This is a result of the thyroid monitoring. Here, this is a date of the vertical axis is the thyroid activity. And the horizontal axis, the time after the intake. The date of intake by inhalation is assumed to be March 12, or the first engaging day if it is identified. The three lines denote predicted thyroid burden activity corresponding to the intake of 20 millisievert, 100 millisievert, and 250 millisievert, respectively. As you can see in the figure here, the first and second largest results were found in the two subjects measured on May 23 last year, 72 days after March 12. They were both plant operators of reactor 3 and 4. They entered the central control room even after the explosion for emergency countermeasures. One operator had inadequate fitness between the face and the mask by his glasses. This figure shows the result of session 137. Compared to the iodine 137, internal dose from radio cesium are trivial. This is a ratio of cesium 137 and cesium 134. The ratio of this is very reasonable from the point of view of estimated source times in the reactors and the results of environmental monitoring. Finally, I would like to talk about the situation of residents. Screening survey for thyroid internal exposure of children, health management survey for the residents in Fukushima Prefecture, whole body counter for residents performed by JEA under the assignment of Fukushima Prefecture. The local nuclear emergency response headquarters performed screening survey for thyroid internal exposure of children in Iwaki City, Kawamata Town, and Itate Village from March 24 to 30. Total 1,149 children were measured. Screening level is 0.2 microsievert. This is correspond to 100 millisievert thyroid dose from 1 year old infant. Sodium iodine saturation survey meter was used. The result, all result is negative. This Fukushima Prefecture has been implementing the health management survey for the resident in Fukushima Prefecture. The purpose of this project is to observe the residents' long-term health and realize the advance of their health into the future. This slide shows the outline of Fukushima residents' healthcare survey that had been implemented by Fukushima Prefecture. In this figure, a basic survey means this is a dose estimation, external dose estimation. By using a self-consumption questionnaire for evacuation behavior. Except out of these programs, there is a whole body counter and a personal dosimeter were used. The present status of personal dosimetry for Fukushima residents as follows. Basic surveys, approximately 10,000 persons reported. The result is maximum is about 23 millisievert within 4 months. Over half percent lower than 1 millisievert. The whole body countings, approximately 15,000 persons measured up to the end of the January. And 98% below 1 millisievert. Maximum was 3 millisievert. And personal dosimeter are also used. Approximately 70 persons or more reported from 22 communities. Term is 1 month or 3 months, and the median is measured is lower than 1 millisievert. And the maximum is 46.6 millisievert by annually. And the second is 7.66 by annually. This slide shows external dose estimation based on the action records. So here. And this is a whole body counting system which was used for residence measurements. This is a procedure of the whole body counting measurement. Many residents come to the JAA Tokai for whole body counting. And this is a result of the internal exposure of residents caused by only cesium 134 and 137. This is example of the data, evaluated dose distributions. Here, adult data, cesium 134 and 137 here. And in case of the adult, the dose distribution is very sharply, but in case of infant, the distribution is become broad. So we think the causes of this very small amount of the contamination in the surface of the closets affect the this result. So this is the result of whole body counting. 99% residents who measured with whole body counter were exposed less than 1 millisievert from internal contamination. No safe exposed residents have been found to the present. Most of the subjects we interviewed about 1 millisievert were children, but a large discrepancy in the dose between children and his families can be observed. This suggests that the small amount of contamination on closets and affected to dose distribution background, mainly for children. Internal exposure of residents, which was caused by short half-life radionuclides such as iodine, will be considered by the dose reconstruction project in near future. So after the measurement, the consultation is very important. And many whole body counting systems are now starting in Fukushima prefectures. And this is the issue of the on dosimetry. So, conclusion, in spite of the severe condition caused by wide area earthquake and tsunami, environmental and individual monitoring emergency situation was performed adequately and quickly by means of cooperation among many participants in Japan. The radiological distribution map is effective for planning of Fukushima reconstruction. Detectable health effects in the public have not been observed and predicted so far, mostly due to the adequate countermeasures for the radiological protection. But more investigation will be needed. Individual monitoring such as whole body counter and direct consultation with radiation protection experts are effective for affected people to reduce elevated anxiety on health effect on radiation. Standardization of radiation monitoring and synthetic dose reconstruction for residents are important for radiation protection and healthcare for public. Japan Health Physics Society will continue to organize open symposium and training course focused on practical issues of radiation protection to enhance cooperation with all concerned. Thank you for your attention.
Okay. We would like to proceed the next presenter. Next one is Dr. Sakai on the issue of public concern.
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to talk about one of the most important aspects of the challenge to our the radiation protection community the from Fukushima accident, that is public concern. After the Fukushima accident, so in Japan, including the Japan Health Physics Society itself, we have conducted a number of the consultation through telephone or through email or the, through the homepage, webpage, I mean. Now, this is an example of the telephone consultation in our institute, National Institute of Radiological Sciences. Starting from the March 15th and up to the end of April, we have received this number of their telephone consultation. And then after analyzing the questions or their concerns, we have categorized the source of or the cause or background of the public concern. One is the lack of information on radiation effects. And the other is a misunderstanding about the radiation protection concept. And I will show you only a few examples, typical examples, from the telephone consultation. The first example is a lack of information on radiation effects. Those who called us says the schoolgirls in Fukushima are not able to have a baby in future. So of course, as you know, he didn't know about the concept of threshold in the tissue, harmful tissue damage. And I, of course, as you know, and I wouldn't much in detail, but there is certain level for threshold for this kind of reproductive the injury. The another one is, well, a little bit more serious. A lady called us. I was told to terminate my pregnancy from her doctor. And of course, this is the lack of the information about the threshold. In the publication 84 of ICRP, the lack of knowledge is responsible for great anxiety and the probability unnecessary termination of pregnancies. And termination of pregnancy at fetal doses of less than 100 milligray is not justified based upon radiation risk. Yeah, this is the consensus of our radiation protection community. And in a sense, luckily enough, we talked to her, and then at the end, she understand the dose response, the relationship, and she decided to continue her pregnancy. And after having experienced this kind of experience, what we learned is a perception of radiation, perception of the term radiation or radioactivity among general public, that is very short circuit or direct connection between radiation or radioactivity and severe effects or cancer or even death. So what we really need to convey the concept of dose response relationship. So not only the direct circuit, direct connection between radiation and the severe effect, we need to tell them that what is important question is how much radiation. And of course, depending on the radiation dose, the effect varies from a very severe effect to no effects at all. So in order to, excuse me, very busy slide, And we, in order to facilitate, to give them an idea, concept of the dose response relationship, we have prepared this kind of chart. We call it radiation exposure effects at a glance. So there is a scale, the upper, the more red the area is higher dose towards a very low dose. And again, I have to apologize, very long you are right here, but you can find this in this the web page of our institute. Anyway, so here we try to put the level of exposure from our the daily life activity, and also the I don't think you can really see the what's written here, but I will show you in summary tissue injury is up to this this region, or the increase in cancer risk is observed in the dose area more than 100 millisievert, for example. And as partly demonstrated by Mr. Momose in the previous slide, so far, dose to Fukushima resident is the tens of millisievert or lower. So difference between this one and this one is very small on the chart, but very important difference. So that means the severe effect, health effect, is not likely to be observed in future. I really hope so. And another cause of the misunderstanding confusion was a misunderstanding about the radiation protection concept. Okay, so 1 millisievert per year is a golden rule for protection, and any dose more than 1 millisievert is dangerous. Yeah, this is one of the typical questions we received on a telephone consultation. Yeah, and of course, all of you know, sir, some dose level, dose limit or the reference level is not a border of safe and danger. So we have to convey again this kind of concept to the general public. Another typical one is tens of thousands of people should die due to radiation from the accident. They are based on the calculation based on the LNT model. I wouldn't in detail, but in the 207 recommendation, it says the LNT model is for a radiation protection or radiation control. So this cannot be used to calculate a actual death or damage. So again, this kind of information was never leaked to the general public. So, yeah, let me summarize in this way. The residents in Fukushima who had not been aware of the radiation effects nor radiological protection before the accident have been affected and confused by lack of information on radiation effects and misunderstanding about a concept of the radiological protection system. And the radiation experts, including ourselves, should disseminate a precise information on effects of radiation and need to explain in plain words on the radiation protection concepts. Let me conclude my talk the schematic the illustration here. What is the role of the radiation experts? Of course, we have been trying to collect a dose and effect information to make up our radiation protection principles and to set up a regulatory standards system. in addition to this kind of the professional side, but also we need the explanation or communication with the public or stakeholders to get a understanding and acceptance of radiation protection system. And including this aspect, Dr. Hattori will summarize the challenge we found in the discussion in our society in the next presentation. Thank you very much for your kind attention.
Thank you. Next speaker is Dr. Hattori. His presentation is concerning to connecting to an Q&A website of JHPS and the Fukushima Symposia arranged by JHPS. And he will do a summary of these propose the recommendation from JHPS, please.
Thank you, Chair. So today is my presentation is about these three contents. The one is a voluntary started Q&A website in JHPS homepage. And the second one is a Fukushima Accident Symposium, which was held four times. And the third one is a very important point. So we published this Fukushima report entitled Issues Associated with Radiation Protection After Fukushima Daiichi Nuclear Power Plant Disaster. So this is the first contents of this my presentation. So on the 14th March, this is just 3 days after the accident, a retired member raised his hand to make contribution for society through JHPS activity. And finally, 2 weeks after the accident, a voluntary developed Q&A website started and was linked into the top of the JHPS homepage. The left side, please memorize that this old type JHPS homepage is brown color. So at that time, this red space is a click button to move to the website. But please memorize the right side homepage. This is our new type of homepage. So please memorize the blue colored homepage is a new one. If you want to go to the English page, please click this English button. And next, this is a real, in Japanese language, Q&A site. So unfortunately, this is in Japanese language. So for example, this is what's new Q&A. This is an outstanding Q&A. And this is to search the Q&A, and so on. So all Q&A is linked to the Twitter site. And this is a Twitter number. And this number shows about the accumulated number of the Q&A. In this case, it's more than 1,500 as of April this year. And volunteers, as almost 20 JHPS members, including retired experts. And the leader of the volunteer team was the past president of JHPS, whose name is Dr. Michikuni Shimo. And the credit of all answer was in JHPS. And the end of August, this volunteer team was reconstructed as a new official committee in JHPS. And 10 to the 15 questions per day, in average, we get the Q&A. And the questions are different from those at early stage. So this means the questions are changed day by day. But in detail, risk communication, including this Q&A site, will be discussed in the next plenary entitled Engaging with Society this afternoon, and Kids 4 session tomorrow by my colleague. Please attend such a session. And the second topic is about the Fukushima Accident Symposium. The first one was held the middle of June. Focusing the nuclear emergency preparedness and its criteria. So this main topic is evacuation and staying in house criteria, and also the administration of stable iodine. And the third point is food regulation and food and drinks. And the final session is we exchanged some views from the viewpoint of the Q&A site and experience in the Fukushima local situation. And the third point is very important for JHPS. This proposal and presentation was done by the younger researcher. Mr. Haruyuki Ogino, who is my colleague, who is a speaker in the plenary in the next afternoon session. And he has a poster session like this, and also the other presenter, Mr. Kotaro Tani, who is a candidate of the Young Professional Prize in this Congress. Please contact directly them. And the second symposium was focused on the public exposure and was held in the middle of August. And exposure of residents is the first technical session. And Dr. Kimiaki Saito made a presentation about the contamination soil and dose rate. So he has also the poster session 1208. If you are interested in about this, so please visit this poster session. And the third session is about the contamination in the metropolitan area. So Dr. Takeshi Iimoto made our first presentation. And also he is now maybe in this session, so he has also the poster session. Please contact him if you are interested in the more detailed matter. And the final, this speaker is also the younger researcher. He's one of the leader of the Young Researchers Committee. And he has also the poster session here, so please contact him, especially the young from young researchers in the upper. And the third symposium was focusing on the internal dose assessment, particularly the equivalent dose at Shiroid and radioactive waste management. This was held in the middle of December. So the first session is the internal dose assessment of the residents at an early stage of the accident, particularly the equivalent dose at Shiroid. And the second session is regarding the dose limit for emergency worker. We had at the first time from the TEPCO, Mr. Kenji Sugai made a presentation, actual operation and management and future issues at the time. And the third session is regarding the radioactive waste management after the accident. The second speaker is Dr. Daisuke Sugiyama, also have the oral presentation in the Thursday morning session. And this session, this presentation is very informative, I think. So this theme is waste management in existing exposure situation. Please visit this session. And the final session is a comprehensive discussion with Flora at the time. So the three speakers, including me, was addressed many things. And I made a presentation about the radiation protection discussion points at the time. And final, the fourth Fukushima symposium was held on March, looking back over 1 year from the accident. So the keynote address is to summarize 1 year the work. So Professor Kosako was the first speaker. And also we have the special talks from the Dr. Otsura Niwa, who is the ICRP main commission member. And this third panel discussion is very significant for us. Discussions on what is a key role JHPS should play. So the first presentation is me. And JHPS distributed the draft paper of the responses and recommendations from JHPS at that time. And Mr. Takahiko Kono and Yuya Koike is also the younger researcher. As you know, we set up the younger researchers every symposium. Very important point, I think. And fourth presentation about the international affairs or the foreign affairs matter. I made a presentation at that time on behalf of Dr. Sakai, the previous speaker. And the final presentation was carried by the Dr. Momose, who is chair of the strategy planning committee in JHPS. After that, we will publish, we already published this Fukushima report. So in the chapter two, 11 issues we raised. So the 11 issues is all related to the exposure situation. The first two issues is all related to all exposure situations. And the second six issues is emergency exposure situations. And third three issues is related to the existing exposure situation. So this is a Fukushima report, which was uploaded in the JHPS homepage on April, but this is only in Japanese language at that time. But now we can download an English version in the JHPS homepage. Please memorize this URL, www.jhps.jp/en. So please memorize. If you can find the JHPS homepage, blue one is a new one. So the brown colored image homepage is a very old one. So if you want to do the download, please visit the blue English page homepage. And 27 points at issues were pointed out from the 11 issues associated with radiation protection. And five responses of JHPS were declared. And 12 recommendations of JHPS were drawn up, taking into consideration particularly the two significant points. How to improve the current system of RP by overlooking the various opinions on RP in an emergency. And the second important point is the direction toward future goals of the radiation protection system by exploiting the strengths of JHPS, of having many experts in RP among its members. So this is five responses of JHPS. The first one is to publish experiences on Q&A website as a booklet. As I explained before, the accumulated total Q&A is 1,500 Q&As. But we will consolidate these Q&As, almost 50 or the 100 Q&As, so that we will publish this Q&As as a booklet in the near future. And the second point is to enhance the human resource development. Particularly the younger age is important, such as spokesperson for RP through a course of lectures and explanatory session for public. Number three is to discuss towards the re-establishment of simple RP systems for protecting the public from radiation exposure. The fourth is well regarding this session, to make presentations and communications in ARPA 13. And the final five responses are to standardize radiation-related emergency methods by using our standardized committee on RP. So using the remaining 5 minutes, I'll introduce few recommendations out of 12 recommendations. The first one is the balance among the other emergency criteria. So the emergency criteria is, for example, the evacuation criteria, or stay in house criteria, or the administration of the stable iodine, or the restoration value for the food and drinks, and so on. But for example, we have some confusion in the experiences. For example, the administration of the stable iodine, that criteria was 100 millisieverts at an equivalent dose. But such a stable iodine was distributed to the evacuation center or the bus for the evacuation. So that this means the stable iodine's manual is assumed by the after the evacuation. But the evacuation criteria is 500 millisievert for the steroid equipment dose for steroid. So the some reverse situation was happened. So the balance is very important. So I'll skip up the next slide. So the number six is the category of foods. So the, for the restriction value for the foods and the drinks. At the early stage of the April, we have the, some experience in the small fishes. There is some small fishes who have the, detected the iodine 131. But at the time, we don't have any regulation value for the, in the case of the iodine 31. It for the small fish and or sheep products. This is a scope of the assumption to derive the, such a restriction value. So that, but now the current regulation is reviewed, already reviewed. But at the time, the, such a confusion happened. And next slide. Post-disaster investigation of steroid equivalent dose of radioactive iodine. By simulating the atmospheric diffusion using speedy and surveys on residents' behavior. So the external dose, by simulating the atmospheric speedy and surveys on residents' behavior is now going on. But in the case of the internal dose for the steroid equivalent dose, still now is not going on. So the, our recommendation is to do this post-disaster investigation in the near future. This is one of the recommendation. So the, due to the time limitation, I'll pick up only one recommendation from the each slide. But you can find from the, this Fukushima report, many things and very informative information that I believe. So the, please contact and please visit our JHPS English homepage. And this is the way forward. Q&A site is going to be continued till the end of this fiscal year. A collection of questions received and answers given in the new booklet will be published in this year. And also the discussion in JHPS, including the international communities, would be held continuously with topical theme of radiological protection after the accident. Thank you.
Thank you. And we received a huge number of comments and questions. By using the rest time, I would like to do a quick response to all of these. The first one is on the source time. And did you do a source time calculation or estimation is on the first question. For the first source time calculation, we developed an ERSS code. And the cost of the development is on $400. But this kind of severe accident analysis code need an input of plant parameters, pressure, temperature, flow rate, and like that. Please consider the situations. Whole station blackout occurred. Some plant parameter is unstable. So the application of the calculation-based source time is quite difficult. This is one thing. So, and specialists, including me, did many discussions, but the precise estimation of the source time is quite difficult. And also, plant number one, first, and plant number three, next, including an explosion of hydrogen, and plant number two is an next issue, and plant number four occurred. And like that. So the early stage estimation of source time was difficult. So we did a combination of other methods, including monitoring data combined with speedy and like that, that caused and source time. And the present days, and we are very easy to do and the calculation of that, but the reactor itself, it is not so clear even now. So the source time discussion will continue. Strontium 90, did you detect, is on the second question. In case of a Chernobyl accident, that is an RBMK graphite moderate type reactors continued and fire for about one week and like that. The continuation of the release of radioactive waste from the reactor. And but our case is on the reactor itself stopped. And but then the reactor melting started for the reasons of the loss of the coolant system. So in our case is not so much of a strontium 90 release or plutonium and like that. We have an less release on this. The next question is on a cleanup process. And how long do you take is on the next question. Maybe and this continues and my estimation is on around 10 years and like that. The cleanup operated by a government and operated by local government, operated by inhabitants and like that. The total number of the peoples is quite huge. This is a question to the second issue. I remembered, for source time, we did an arrangement of the presentation on Friday by Dr. Matsura, and he was the former chairperson of a Nuclear Safety Commission in Japan, and he originally and a reactor physicist. He knows everything, and he will do an presentation on that, please hear that. The next is an deposition of a fallout. The deposition of a fallout is very, very complex. The reactor accident is continuing in 1, 3, 2, 4, and like that. One direction is on dry deposition, and radiation plume appears in the fallout. This causes a dry deposition. Second is a wet deposition combined with the rainfall and like that. So the distribution of the radionuclide fallout will be a very complex one. And depending on the mountain, and depending on the climate change and also the geographic situation and like that. All of these is completely included in the spirit system. The second, the next is a stable iodine. We have a huge number of stable iodine stock and did many discussion of the application in early stage. But the stable iodine, the application is on the before the appearance of the radiation plume. So we need the combination or combined thinking with the prediction system. I have already told you the application of the speedy calculation itself is okay, but the opening of these information was quite difficult at that time. So the distribution was finished, but the application order does not so and distributed, but application was in some meaning and failure. This will be a big program, I believe. The accuracy of speedy and the question exists. The accuracy of the speedy, we took $100 for the development. The benchmark or international comparison was done and speedy is on the top level accuracy. So the in the meaning of the accuracy is on well is on my opinion. This applied and for benchmark not only nuclear field but also fly ash appearance after the explosion of a volcano and like that. The benchmark is enough. Accuracy is enough, is my opinion. And the lessons from Fukushima, it is generic or specific is on the next question. And this is generic is on my opinion. And the estimation of a PSA, probabilistic risk assessment method in severe accident, one is an internal event, and another is an external event, including a natural disaster and like that. And another is an emergency preparedness, in this meaning generic. And thyroid dose estimation, it depends on one-time intake or continuous intake. This estimation has already finished in my laboratory. The difference is double or 50%. This presentation was done yesterday. Please check it. And in under emergency situations, beta ray irradiation to radiation workers, that occurred. But then only one or two person received and beta ray exposure. After that, we did a care. And the urine analysis, that was done, not only gamma ray, but also beta ray we did. And those estimation of fireman and policeman and the rescue and the army, and that was done, and every information now open to general public. Maybe I'm not huge. We are reaching an end of the meeting. And on the public communication, in my sense, and the public communication is important, but the communication between specialists is important also. And specialists, as you know, specialist level is quite different, and he knows everything. But another person knows and only his field and like that. The communication of the specialist is also important. Maybe and the time is coming, and so and if you have a question, please do a contact to us for and we would like to do a response all of your questions. The issue I would like to say is an. Waste, radioactive waste program. This is a very difficult question. The total volume of contaminated soil is vast. So and how to get a conclusion is a big question to us. And I would like to say and many thanks to ARPA of the arranging this meeting. And also I'd like to say many thanks for comments and questions. And maybe and this kind of analysis will continue. So and we'll do an more effort. And thank you very much. And I would like to close this session. Thank you.